The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Open line through till 1, so the floor is yours. Text, email, call 661368 or WhatsApp. Just a quick word, the inbound London Heathrow, the Logan Air 130 is delayed. Short delay, being at 1:45 this afternoon. Apart from that, everything's fine at the airport. Boats are fine too. It's a lovely day. And it's a bank holiday weekend. And 3 weeks today, it's pre-TT at Belown. Practice at Belown's on Friday, the 24th of May. It's here, 3 weeks' time. It's all going to be happening for that fortnight and a bit. TT, pre-TT, and then TT itself. 4 weeks today, it's half term. I know you were looking forward to that. And Robert's first with us. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how you doing? How's good life? I'm just on the street at the moment. You all right?
Yeah. Where? Which street are you on?
I'm just outside the Outback. I'm just headed home. It's been a rough day. I lost my job today.
Oh, crikey, Robert. How come?
Well, basically, I won't get into it, but I wanted to talk about the shackles of empire and the fact that we've got this middle management that just aren't listening to us.
Go on.
You know, you've got basically all these shops, which are nothing more than a subdivision of a UK store on, you know, Strand Street and stuff like that. And my heart goes out to the workers in them, because I'm talking to the Manx here. When you've got a workforce which can't complain because it makes the management look bad, and you lose your job over it because they're so, you know, nimbious and so vain in terms of the way they look. What use is there? When are we going to shake off the shackles of empire?
So what do you think we need to do?
Well, I mean, why do we need them? Why are they here? Why do we need any of them? Because all there is shopping on the Isle of Man. If you've got Amazon, then what's the point of it?
Well, we've got big UK multiples on there. I mean, we'd be fairly lost without some of those
multiples. Why do we need them? Why do we need them? You're not answering the question. Why do we need them, Wynn?
Well, we'll leave that open for the public to answer why we need them. So, well, we wish you... Listen, Robert, we wish you... Well, I'm sorry that's happened to you today, and I'm sorry that you've lost your job. But just, if anybody else wants to comment on that... Thank you, Robert. I do hope things work out for you, and thanks for calling today. David's on now. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. And I'm sorry for Robert as well, but I learned easy years ago to join a union, and there's several unions still on the island. And what it does do, we're not always right, and the employer's not always wrong, but what it does do, you'll be able to assess what's gone wrong. You have rights under employment law for unfair dismissal. But sometimes in life, you've got to engage with somebody like I did years ago into a union. That's what got me into politics. It probably got me into trouble all the time. I remember supporting strikes years ago. I remember bringing food to the newspapers in Hill Street. At about 8 o'clock at night, food parcels. The T&G would deliver food parcels to the print workers union in there.
There was a lock-in once there, wasn't there?
I've been in a couple of lock-ins myself. I mean, and I watched them in America. We were never like that. We probably were rebels at the time, but what we did do, we made sure we were joining an organisation that actually went into politics and did things. And Bernard Moffat, I'd love him to come on to your programme a couple of times for the history he's got in his head and the things he's gone through. I remember sometimes when he was persecuted indirectly by the police, but they never got him. he was, I remember loads of people there, they accused him of all sorts, having glary eyes and stuff like that. And they didn't even realise that we had a meeting that night. And then, you know, we were there where he should. They thought he was somewhere else, and it didn't happen. But anyway,
well, I just wanted to say before you go any further, David. I mean, the fact is, that's a horrible feeling. It's one of the worst feelings when you lose your job, when somebody says to you, "You're out." You know, when somebody cuts the legs from underneath you. So we wish Robert well, and I hope everything works out for him. And you're quite right about Burnham Moffat. He may have glary eyes, but he's certainly a man of principle.
He is. And I'd say to Robert, it's never too late to ask what you were sacked for. What was the misdemeanor? Is there something you can go to the employment tribunal about? There are several factors you can actually do. You may not be right. They may have justification on it. But can I say it to you? On the Isle of Man at the minute, there are a number of jobs for gardeners. Auckland commissioners are looking for gardeners to work full-time. There's even a refuse operator. Now, you look at them jobs years ago, but now, you don't even lift anything. It's a wheelie bin operation. You get a pension. You get sickness benefit after you've been for a while. And you have continuous employment. There are always opportunities. Go to the job centre today. Yeah. Don't be embarrassed. That's the thing. But before I forget, Andy, and I'm went on too much, is I had a little stroll on the prom, a little bit by the prom, by the sea terminal there. Do you remember the grass verge last year?
Oh, yes. The wilding.
Yes. And we're there again. Now, are we now ready for visitors? We're coming to a public weekend. Well, when I was there, there must have been about 50 mature individuals with sticks, backpacks and whatever. And I thought to myself, I wonder what they think of this grass verge. That they didn't walk on the grass verge, they walked on the pavement side of it. But for the sake of running a lawnmower over, and I don't know whether last year was it in charge of the city, now, not the town, the city, or was it the government's responsibility? So I just wonder if somebody would come on. And maybe we should have a little program sometime, Andy, and say, in the areas around the Isle of Man, are we picking up the things that would make the visitors say, hey, they're looking after this place. Must be a nice place.
That's funny you should say that, because I was driving down just past Quarterbridge yesterday morning and noticed... And you notice on the Isle of Man, because normally it's spick and span, but there must have been half a dozen or maybe a dozen pieces of litter in that hedge bottom on the side of the Peel Road Glen. I'm looking at it, was probably some McDonald's cartons or what have you. And just the sort of thing that once upon a time would have been spick and span and clean. I just wonder as well, David, it might be nice if anybody's got visitors this weekend or anybody in the hospitality trade, just ask any visitor what they think of the Isle of Man and get their first impressions.
Well, that's right. If you don't mark us out of 10, we're never going to improve, are we?
Yeah.
We're slack on this. Toilets are a big issue. Now I'm getting older as well. You have to plan if you're going somewhere for a little stroll. You've got grandkids and stuff like that. Parks, open spaces, you know. Yeah. And I have the Plum Onken Park. £5 for a day. It's very reasonable.
Okay.
Leave it at that.
All right. Thanks for calling that. That's Onken Park. And other parks are available as well. Here's Richard with us now. Hi, Richard.
Oh, hello. From a rather grey overcast but pretty humid West Kirby. I'm just wondering, it's like... Well, the bloody Forsyth saga is this. Does anybody know when the new... Liverpool landing stage operations come into force?
It's funny you should say that, Richard, because we've been asking around, and at the moment, the best advice we can say is lick your finger and stick it in the air, because nobody knows.
It's ridiculous, they say, this year, but good God, it's getting ridiculous, because this year could be in January, or could have been in November, but if it's anything like the West Kirby War, which was finished, it has been finished, with some doubtful results, but only a year late, so it's getting to be one of those.
Well, and it's not like we haven't overpaid for it as well. The best part of £90 million has been spent on it. And at the
moment, I think it's a typical of these things that they always put in an attractive estimate to get things going, and put in an estimate and double it by the finish sort of thing.
Well, at the moment they're running a book in the newsroom here. Which is going to be first, the new Everton Stadium or the sea terminal there?
Very interesting to place your bets on that. And by the way, happy congratulations. I think it was next month or July, 60 years ago, when you tried an FM trial, but you didn't really properly get going till October, November, the autumn of 1964. The English government was not very enthusiastic about your operation.
Well, apparently the Postmaster General, as he was then in the UK, didn't look too favourably on it. But you're quite right. We had three goes at getting started in 1964. Hence, we've got three birthdays.
It's almost better than the King. Because I remember the early days when you're on the Mankey 50 or 100 watt medium wave things, and unless you turned yourself into an aerial, an earth, even on a high grade transistor, it was almost unreadable anywhere. But it's much better now because I believe we've got access to 20 kilowatts.
The transmitter at Foxdale, if we absolutely turn the whole thing up and crank it across, it's 30 kilowatts, but just to
just to be careful, you're running it at 20, which is fair enough.
Okay. All right, appreciate that. Thanks for calling.
Nice to be in touch anyway.
Good to
hear from you. You're coming over very nicely anyway.
Very good. Have a good weekend. Thanks for calling.
Hope so, if I can finish the lawn in time.
All right, thanks for that. Good to hear from you. Reference to grass vergers, apparently, if they're intending to make it a wildflower or natural area, they won't cut it until later on to allow the wildflowers to seed. So whether it's the right spot for such things is another question. So will they be wilding that grass verge down what will be eventually, and you know they will do it, the horse tram at the moment? We are home of the halfway horse tram. Whether the full horse trams will run to the sea terminal, well, that's in the lap of Tynwald. I've got lots of messages to get through over the past few days. Some have been coming in, and we'll get to that fairly shortly. First of all, Peter's with us. Hi, Peter.
Oh, hello. It's Peter Murcott here.
Yep.
I just want to draw attention to the speed with which legislation is taking place in the Isle of Man on this assisted dying bill, and it calls into question a lot of things into question. Now, on the 23rd of April 2024, the Select Committee's report was presented to the House of Keys. Now, that report has 214 pages. Now, I think you would agree with me that that takes quite a bit of reading. About 33 of them were what the committee was recommending, but the other pages would cover the evidence that was received by the committee, which of course runs to about 180 pages. Now, that's quite a volume to have to read to take in. Now, the order paper for next Tuesday talks about the clauses stage. Now, those amendments, and you might be interested to know that there are 90 amendments to this bill, which speaks for itself that it's obviously very unsatisfactory. I've never known a bill have 90 amendments to it. That's a warning sign, if ever there were. Now, those would have had to have been in by 5 p.m. last Monday, which was the 29th of April. Now, how on earth can people understand, comprehend what's being said by all the evidence of 214 pages between the 23rd of April and the 29th of April, let alone have the ability to be able to, and the time and the expertise to be able to put amendments in? So it may be they'd work those out, some of those out beforehand.
So what do you think is behind this?
I don't know. This is the question I'm raising. What is all the rush about? Because if you refer to Jersey, I've looked at the Jersey's legislation. It's very complex, so much so I just didn't have time to read it. It runs to far more pages than the Isle of Man does. And more equally importantly, Jersey put the whole subject on hold for several months. Now, I can only take it that they did so that people could assimilate and understand and appreciate what this volume of legislation was. So why, after we had a select committee looking at this, producing a report, which I think costs about £25 to buy, why have a select committee if you're going to rush straight in to the clauses stage? And that's what's happening. So to my mind, what needs to be done on Tuesday is for a motion to be moved that the clauses stage does not proceed because people have not had time to assimilate the select committee's report. In any event, I've looked at the clauses and there are still several issues, very important issues, which haven't been covered. Now, I'm not blaming the people who draft the clauses because they had virtually no time in which to do so. But it does mean that now no further clauses can be moved. The only thing that can happen, and this is very limited indeed, where MHKs have seen what clauses are going to be moved, they can move an amendment, but strictly, ever so strictly, just to what the amendment was already making. It's a very limited ability, and they have to get any amendment on an amendment, if you understand what I mean, by Friday, by today, because it's Bank Holiday Monday. They haven't even got till Monday evening. They've got to get it in today, and it has to be drafted by the parliamentary draftsman. So you can see all the complications that there are in dealing with legislation, and yet this most important piece of legislation, which needs thorough scrutiny, has, quite frankly, to my mind, it's being rushed, and I don't know why.
Well, there are two reasons then. Either it's a process matter, or somebody somewhere thinks that the assisted dying bill will become law and it's just a matter of time and they're preparing for it.
Well, actually, one of the clauses does make it clear that it wouldn't become, or there is a clause, there is, I should say, one of the amendments is that it wouldn't actually come into force until 2027. But this is such a serious issue, and it's unprecedented, and it's unprecedented in the British Isles as far as the United Kingdom and the overseas territories are concerned. This is completely unprecedented, and yet the Isle of Man is really going, to my mind, at breakneck speed with a piece of legislation that in Britain they have debated and debated and examined and scrutinised, and we're not getting that sort of scrutiny. It's not possible to have it because you can't possibly assimilate what the Select Committee has, what evidence the Select Committee's had, let alone get clauses draft. So right. I just put that to the public. That's what's happening in the legislature, and it is highly unsatisfactory, and I hope somebody does something about it.
OK, appreciate that, Peter. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, it's 25 past 12. By the way, have you been listening to Judith Lay? I think Judith's staying up. I don't think Judith ever sleeps during the Guild. The Max Music Festival is on, and every evening this week at 9 o'clock, Judith's been presenting Today at the Guild. There are daily podcasts and a host of fantastic videos. If you go to Manx Radio's YouTube channel, which I'm of course assuming that you subscribe to, so YouTube channel at manxradio.com, and on our Facebook page, the island's biggest music and performance event with huge participation right across the community. Maybe somebody you know is in it. Maybe you are in it. Anyway, go to manxradio.com or the YouTube channel, or tune in tonight. Final show tonight. Maybe if we went back to paying MHKs a stipend, we'd get more money to spend on things things important to Manx voters, says WhatsApper 057. We might get elected representatives who truly represent the voters and not their own vanity projects. I noticed, by the way, on a shipping app, there are 5 survey craft off the east coast of the Isle of Man. Paul in Mackold said, does anybody know what they're doing? Are they exploring the gas field? I think, because we see one of Orsted's boats looking down from Douglas Head most days, I think they're Orsted. I don't know for certain, but I think they're Orsted vessels surveying for the offshore wind farm. But perhaps there is a Kroger vessel there. Very expensive, those Kroger vessels. Quentin's on now. Hi, Quentin.
Pastor Mai, Andy, how are you?
Good, thanks. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to respond to Peter Murcott's repeated assertions, if I may. I don't want to get into the debate about rights and wrongs of assisted dying and the legislation, because that's for our elected members to do. But Peter took the tack of repeatedly saying this is being rushed through, but he kind of undid his argument by accepting that for 214 pages, 180 or so were actually evidence, the evidence that's been given to the committee. Now, any member following this, and I'm sure he's right that it's very of a great deal of interest to every member of Tynwald, will have been following that evidence in the published Hansard. So they're not being asked to read 300 plus pages, they're actually being asked to read 24. And I think, however desperate Peter and his like-minded opponents of the principle, let alone practice of assisted dying, I think they should accept that 24 pages of conclusions and arguments and suggestions is not beyond any hard-working MHK or MLC. And I'm sure that they have all fulfilled their duty in taking that in, and and the process is entirely appropriate, entirely within the standing orders. And I think is actually a credit to the House of Keys that they're getting on with things that they're meant to be doing. People, okay. I hear a lot of complaints that people say the MHKs don't seem to be doing much, MLCs don't have any legislation to deal with. They've got time, they've got the opportunity to deal with this important piece of social legislation, and I hope it will proceed. How that proceeds is a matter for the Keys, matter for the Legislative Council and Tynwald.
Okay. It's fair to say, of course, I think, when did you first bring a private member's bill to Keys to approve the practice of assisted dying? Was it 2005?
5 or 6. I'm sorry, I can't recall. But yes, we did. And at that point, John Rimmington and I were we knew that it wouldn't succeed, but we wanted to get it on the agenda and as a legitimate political item, and that we succeeded in that. And again, Peter misrepresents the UK, where he says they've debated this for such a long time, and it's far too complicated to ever actually go anywhere, because that's basically the thrust of his argument. The UK haven't done that. UK have had private members' bills, as we have. The difference is the government of the day has always refused time and opportunity for them to be progressed. Our parliament has taken a different view, and I think it's to their credit.
Okay, I appreciate that. Quentin, it's good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us.
Angie, thank you. Bye.
That's former MHK Quentin Gill. So it was about 2005, 2006 when Quentin Gill first proposed a private member's bill to approve the practice of assisted dying on the Isle of Man. And Julian's on now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Just before I talk about local produce, just following on from the conversation you've just had with Peter and the caller before, I'd just like to draw people's attention to a name, Yolanda with a J, so J-O-L-A-N-D-A, and Fun, F-U-N for November, so Yolanda Fun, 34-year-old, she's healthy, slim, but she has an eating disorder and depression, and she was euthanized a week ago in the Netherlands under their assisted dying, and this month, a 28-year-old girl, attractive, slim, no health issues, but has autism, called Zoraya, Z-O-R-A-Y-A, T-E-R-B-E-E-K. So Zoraya Ter Beek, another Netherlands lady, and she's going to be euthanized this month under the same thing. So there's 2 people, completely healthy, suffering from autism and depression and an eating disorder, will no longer be with us shortly.
And what's your conclusion from that, Julian?
Slippery slope.
Sorry?
Slippery slope.
Oh, a slippery slope. It's funny, that story is, I read the Daily Mail, was it earlier on this week, that story of Yolanda Fun, who, as you say, was going to end her life by euthanasia on the 34th birthday.
So, interestingly, she went through a whole bunch of psychiatrists until she found one that was willing to sign her off, which is quite interesting as well, because there's the debate about whether the doctors, the third of all the doctors leave here, as they say they will. That's going to be a little bit of a difficult one for the government to handle, trying to, how many doctors are there? If you divide that, you lose a third of them and we're already struggling, that's going to be a bit of a problem for everybody.
Obviously, Man in Line has no opinion where this is concerned. So we air opinions on all sides of this particular argument. Is there anything that could convince you, Julian, that we should have the assisted dying law on the Isle of Man?
I see why, and I totally see why. But my problem with it is the news stories about the hospice being constantly defunded and saying that they have to ration their services. I mean, we've also got the... against suicide strategy as well. So it's kind of strange that you've got the two of them, although some people try to argue that they're not conflicting with each other. But my problem is, if you're talking about people who are afraid of the dignity, well, I'm hearing that there's very limited spaces at the hospice. So shouldn't we get that, keep people together and, be with each other to the end and have a hope that there'll be cures? Because, there are several... treatments that have come out that have actually rescued people. There was the guy that was over here from Canada recently. You talked about a woman 23 years ago who was all set to do it, but the doctor convinced her to have treatment, and she's still here. And she saw a son go through his at the university and get his degree and everything. Mm-hmm. So she says she's pleased she's here.
Okay, well, and just going back to you saying there aren't enough places at hospice, I mean, do you know that for an absolute fact?
That is anecdotal, but I'm hearing that, all you've got to do is look on Manx Radio and just put in hospice. And if you look, you'll see that they're constantly saying, it's a charity, but they're constantly looking for more money.
Yeah.
I think perhaps that needs to be as perfect as it can be first. And then we'll talk about, if there are still people that aren't, because effectively what you're doing is the drugs that they're using in the hospice are a very mild version of, trying to put you down effectively. I think the hospice question needs to be addressed. I mean, we're kind of going down the wrong avenue, I think, too fast. I totally agree about the dignity side of things, but if you're just throwing the hospice away in kind of like, this high speed thing, I'm not sure if that's the right way to go in society, to be honest. There's always hope.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling, Julian.
Right, thanks, Andy. Cheers.
Appreciate that. Thanks for that. Well, maybe it's a Chatham, certainly. I don't think hospice is in any big financial danger, but certainly they have a new chief exec fairly recently, and hospice needs a lot of money to continue. It's one of the shining beacons of the Isle of Man. I don't think, to be quite honest, I can't really think of a bad word I've heard said against hospice in 25, 26 odd years on the Isle of Man. But this question about a sister dying, as you hear just in comments, divides opinion. Lots of people have an opinion on this because it is such a subjective subject. It's a very personal subject. And I wonder what your thoughts are. Have you come to any conclusion? I notice on the shipping app, again, those five survey craft. We also, I think somebody's figured out, there's also a lighthouse board ship is knocking around as well. Thank you, Steve, who says misinformation is being broadcast and repeated on a daily basis and is rarely challenged and often encouraged, says Steve. So we were talking, this is Steve who was talking about, thank you. There is, I don't know, Steve, I must point out to you that Man in Line is an opinion program. People have opinions, and it may be opinions that you disagree with. Some people may be entirely wrong factually, but they do have an opinion. And if that opinion comes from information that is proved to be false, then normally the audience will find this out. Steve, if you want to give us a call, Steve, on 806 and say, you know, say what you want to say on air, by all means do. Steve on 806, call 661368. And Juan said, "Is hospice, as you say that hospice is short of cash." Now, I didn't say it's short of cash. I said they need a lot of money. And I think coming out of COVID, they'd said that they were down to, was it 3-4 years of reserve? So it's not in any great financial danger. But obviously, you have to have a strategy where hospice is concerned, Juan, on 715. So they do need to have a big income, hence you hear them promoting. Doesn't the CEO get a six-figure salary, says Juan. So you expect the chief exec to work for nothing, Juan, do you? Do you work for nothing, Juan? Should anybody work for nothing? We're not communists, are we?
The Ginger Hall has it all. Check out the new restaurant, now open at the Ginger Hall Hotel, where you'll find a fantastic range of food, from classic winter warmer bistro-style dishes to delicious Sunday specials and great celebration meals. Don't delay. Book now on 897-231 or visit our Facebook page for all our opening times, pictures and full menus. You'll even find details on our live music and more. The Ginger Hall really does have it all.
You can get the best of everything, and the price is just as nice.
Oh, I'm so glad we went to Pacesetter. The perfect shower, some great tiles, all the accessories we needed. They had it all. Amazing ranges from traditional to modern, many exclusive to Pacesetter. Get your bathroom on song. Visit the Pacesetter showrooms at Harris Terrace and Spring Valley.
You can get the best of everything.
Nearly as good as me.
When you need a fitting memorial or headstone for a loved one, contact Manx Memorials in Peel. This long-standing family-run Manx company offer a wide range of granite and marble headstones and memorials, along with an island-wide inscription and renovation service. Manx Memorial's skilled professionals will take the time to help you choose a suitable memorial, and we're proud to say we'll beat other local quotes. Call 843 861 or email matthew@manxmemorials.co.uk.
Whether you're fitting out a business office or looking for a stylish home office, you'll find excellent choice at Office World, the island's largest display showroom of office furniture. With a huge array of desk configurations, including height adjustable and bench options, plus seating in mesh, fabric and vinyl finishes, along with a myriad of storage solutions, from filing cabinets to bookcases and cupboards. Find all this and so much more at Office World on Spring Valley Industrial Estate.
Office World!
Get ready for a bank holiday winning weekend here on Manx Radio. We've teamed up with Waltons to give you the chance to win an LG 55-inch TV. From first thing Saturday, just go to the Manx Radio Facebook page and identify the famous TV show. Then listen out for the window of opportunity across Saturday, Sunday and bank holiday Monday, and text your name and answer to 166-177. We'll do the big prize draw for the TV on Tuesday afternoon with Alex, and also check out Walton's huge offers in store this bank holiday weekend. You can also find them on Facebook or waltons.im. So keep listening for your chance to win here on your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
20 to 1 on Manx Radio, and after 1 o'clock, well, after Man in Line today, we're back in the archives from our 60 years of being on air. After Man in Line today, you're going to hear David Collister, the late David Collister, talking to Police Constable Henry Corlett. Well, he was once a police constable, but Henry Corlett is going to be talking about the use of the birch on the Isle of Man. Corporal punishment was once a fact of life on the Isle of Man, or state-sponsored corporal punishment was a fact of life, and the use of the birch. So Henry Corlett, former police constable, talks to David Callister after Man in Line today about the use of the birch. Thanks also to Al, who says, thanks, really enjoying the coverage of the Guild on Manx Radio, and love the videos. Well, congratulations to Chris Quirk, editing and shooting all that. Another bite out of the hospitality apple as Fiesta Havana disappears. Thanks also to Alan, who said, sorry for not phoning in, but I've got great difficulty hearing on the phone. Yesterday, several people were talking about the use of cannabis on the Isle of Man. I'm totally for its use to be legalised. We're making criminals out of people with a lifetime record against them for having what, to all intents and purposes, is a harmless drug. There's a local media report of a young woman who's been fined hundreds of pounds for possessing half a gram of cannabis. This must be the equivalent to taking a sip of a cool drink of beer. Nobody's ever died from an overdose of cannabis, and it is, to me, a very pleasant and relaxing way to spend after a hard day's work. Thanks also. And Ian said, I've all said many times there should be zero tolerance for drug use of any amount. Take away the market for the animals who sell drugs and everyone should go to jail first time. They'll then say jail is full, so build another one. We've got enough money to do that if we can afford to fritter it away on unachievable other projects like the Liverpool landing stage. So one person says, legitimise and legalise cannabis. Another one says zero tolerance. I remember the day McDonald's opened seeing bags of rubbish on Peel Road. It began the minute that McDonald's opened. We need the UK shops on the Isle of Man, says Fred, as the Manx shopkeepers just rip people off. Crikey, how can you say that? You get a better selection of items. Well, UK firms obviously have the weight of numbers. They've got the size that they can afford to get more in. It is the way that there are more big UK multiples on the Isle of Man. We've just seen Shoprite ready to disappear from our streets, and now it's going to be replaced by Tesco. Is that the way of the world? Do you think the Isle of Man, the way the Isle of Man used to be, will ever survive? I bumped into a couple of people at Port of Vullen on Wednesday who were trying to walk the coastal path. They were really disappointed when they came across a close sign partway after Port Lueg. This meant they had to turn back. There was nothing explaining how to reconnect with the path. The sign was placed a long way after a series of steps they could have diverted along, and they actually said to me, does the island actually want visitors? This is Jane. The state of many our footpaths is very disappointing. They were from Devon and said that winter damage to their paths was sorted out very quickly, as visitors are important to Devon. I guess the powers that be simply don't visit our, don't value our visitors. And Dick said, sorry for that chap losing his jobs, but I've been made redundant from three firms which had unions, but it makes no difference in or out of a union. Get the same employment rights under the law. Didn't 600 people have their jobs saved this year when the UK firm Tesco took over Shoprite? If Shoprite were making millions, they wouldn't have sold it off and just sat back counting the money. But they weren't. Thanks to Tesco, UK firms, the old staff were moved to Tesco and have had a pay rise and longer holidays. Is that right, Dick? UK firms employ the majority of retail staff on the island, so if he got rid, as the young man suggested, would there be an awfully long queue at the job centre? Thank you for that, Dick. This is because Robert called in earlier on today to say, sadly, today he'd lost his job. Anyway, Robert, we wish you well and hope everything works out for you. And Bonzo's on now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hi there. Yeah, just listening to Peter Dorica on the assisted dying bill, and he's talking about all the amendments which are being put on to the bill in Keys on Tuesday and how this is being rushed through. I think he's being a bit sparing with the facts there, because I've just looked at the assisted dying bill list of amendments, and at least 35 of them are what you term technical amendments. I mean, like the first two. Amendment 1, page 5, line 5, for Assisted Dying Act, substitute End of Natural Life Choice Act. This is Lord Brenham. Ms. Lord Brenham, sure, sir. 2, page 5, line 5, for Assisted Dying Act, substitute Assisted Dying and Voluntary Euthanasia Act. Mr. Canister. Now, if one of those things are then repeated for other clauses, which would then be referred to from that sort of first bit, which is the short title of the Act, So it's just sort of renaming of things. So if one of, well, if both of those first two amendments don't go through, then the other 15 or 20 of them that depend on that, you know, just, no, they don't consider them either. They just throw them out. Like there's another set from Chris Thomas, which is for medicines substitute approved substance. Because, of course, medicines are specified by the Medicines Act. And again, if that initial one isn't passed, then all, this, all the other subsequent ones won't go through. Looking at the actual amendments, I'd say only about 15 of them are of any real substance or would need real discussion. But the rest of them are, the rest of them are just technical and just been nodded out.
Where do you stand on assisted dying, Bonzo?
Oh God! I mentioned this when it first was mooted. Assisted dying is a sort of, it's, you know, possibly the most complicated thing that a legislature can do, and which is why a lot of legislators have avoided it. I'm not entirely sure as to why we've gone down this route. I think there is some thought that the UK using the Crown dependencies as a bit of a testing ground for it before they then introduce such a bill, or have a private member introduce such a bill that then the government picks up in UK. Because they're having a simple debate on assisted dying, I think, as a consequence of campaigning by Esther Ranson, sometime this month in the UK. So that may be one way why they're proceeding with that. And also, of course, the fact that what we do with legislation is that we essentially have an enabling act, and then, you know, we do regulations around it rather than make a really, you know, big long bill like you do in Westminster. So that again, it may be a way of trying to get it through, you know, making sure that you can sort of get it through, so that then you can see how it operates. So okay, then the UK can do that. But trying to represent it as shoving the bill through with loads of amendments without consideration, no, I think that I think that's being economical with the facts and presenting them in Peter Doricott's argument.
Okay, I got a message from regarding Bonzo. This is a texter 004. Bonzo for Chief Minister. He seems to know what he's talking about.
Oh, well, Chief Minister. Oh, please. You know, cat herder in chief. The person who gets all the hate mail. You know, but I don't know. I'd certainly implement Count Binface policies about Crassel.
Okay. Have a good weekend. Thanks for calling.
And you. Right, bye.
Andy Wint, the nation's station, makes radio.
Heating oil for homes, powering farms and businesses, keeping you moving with petrol stations across the island. Ellen Vannin Fuels. Call us on 84 4000.
Discover Bathline, the new name in bathrooms at Haldane Fisher. Visit their brand new bathroom and tile showroom in Douglas for a stunning range of bathroom styles and designs. Or get inspired online at bathline-bathrooms.im. Whether traditional or contemporary, Bathline's dedicated in-house bathroom designers will bring your dream bathroom to life. Bathline at Haldane Fisher. Designed for living.
Island Hearing Limited, your local hearing care specialist since 2009, with branches in Port Erin and Ramsey. We provide the very latest hearing aid technology available, which you can try at home, with excellent aftercare and a wax removal service available using microsuction. Give us a ring on 830 722 or visit Island Hearing at One Station Road, Port Erin. We're happy to help. Island Hearing, always listening.
Classic bikes. vintage bikes, cafe races and custom bikes, race machines and much more. They'll all be at the Ramsey Motorcycle Show, 6th of May. A great day out for all the family, whatever the weather. Indoors at a Mountain View Innovation Centre, Jerby Road. Classes for most machines, with prizes sponsored by Paul Denman Performance. Ride up before 9 a.m. to enter on the day for only £5. With all proceeds donated to the Jerry Dunlop Foundation. Doors open 10 a.m. Free parking and free entry too. Ramsey Motorcycle Show. Supported by CTH Insurance and your nation station, Manx Radio.
Caroline North is back on the air this weekend for you with some music from the 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s. Laser 558 is celebrating 40 years and our guest DJ is Tommy Rivers. We have money to give away in a competition to spend in the Caroline webshop and the whole weekend is sponsored by Turton Tower Woodland Cafe. Join us this weekend on Caroline North on 648 and 1368 AM with Manx Radio.
Radio Caroline North, pure nostalgia.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
First of May, it's 8 minutes before one. Just a quick word about next week. Of course, Bank Holiday Monday, but next Thursday, on Thursday the 9th, we're looking forward to the week after. Does that make sense? Week commencing the 13th, Monday the 13th, is Mental Health Awareness Week. So as a kind of pump primer to that, on Thursday the 9th, next Thursday, we're going to be out and about in Castletown talking about mental health with some professionals and experts. The people from I'll Listen will be along and other people. So I think we're live at the George Hotel, lovely, on the square in Castletown next Thursday the 9th, talking about Mental Health Awareness Week. Week after that, Monday the 13th, that's a week on Monday, Treasury Minister Alex Allinson's going to be live on Manx Radio, and later on that week, we'll be live in Castletown at King William's College with the students. So, busy time coming up. So, the DOI put a container on the prom on the same day as planning for the new four-foot-high seawall runs out, says Philip. Is this a coincidence? Seems the DOI can do just what they want again, and planning restrictions don't apply to them. Basically, if they start work now, they're building with no permission. Is it too late to stop this stupid idea? Philip's words. I don't know who to contact, but I'm sure someone listening might know which buttons to press. Has the planning run out on that four-foot-high seawall? Assisted dying, says this correspondent, will happen at some point, no matter how much opposition there is. People want the choice. It's their choice, their decision. If someone else is prepared to suffer horribly to the bitter end, that's their choice. It isn't compulsory. A lot of choice talk about the assisted dying, so why no talks about the amendments to the Pandemic Treaty Bill, which isn't being discussed in the news? It appears our rights as people aren't on the Keys agenda. We talked, I think, and certainly Jane Paul Wilson mentioned that last time she was here. Thanks also to Katie, who dropped me a note, and she said, has there been any mention of the Climate Change Fund funding measure in the budget? Katie, I've checked out, and in the budget earlier on this year, the Climate Change Fund preserves its current total of $25.7 million unallocated funding for the forthcoming year, ready to assist departments to meeting the Isle of Man's net zero carbon emissions target by 2050. That funding this year includes £10 million for climate change mitigation and adaptation projects. So that's £25.7 million unallocated funding for the Climate Change Fund this year.
When the Man in Line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
No Man in Line on Monday. It's a bank holiday. Apparently, says Texter 068, microplastics have been found in human placentas. It's been tested. This is deeply concerning. We were talking about microplastics yesterday. Surely the foolproof way, says Francis, to stop people bringing drugs to the Isle of Man is to do what every other country does, sniffer dogs meeting them, or am I missing something? Quick word about Ramsey North Beach this Sunday from 10:30. Beach Buddy is going to be in session. 10:30, finishing no later than midday. Meet at the car park at the northern end of the promenade. alongside the former Grand Island Hotel. That's it. Thanks to Howie on the phones today. Have a great weekend.
60 years of serving the island. Manx Radio.
W-I-N-T.
60 years serving you as the nation station. This is Manx Radio.
One of the more controversial issues of the last century was the use on this island of the birch. As a punishment to deter young people who had, in the views of the courts, acted like hooligans, this was the era of mods and rockers in England. The practice was seen by many residents as a valuable deterrent. Here's David Conister.
1972 was the crucial year which marked the beginning of the end of the practice. Someone who was closer than most to the use of the birch is the retired police constable Henry Corlett. From 1958 onwards, he was frequently called on to administer the birch and to collect, during the winter, the slender branches required to make them.
Union Mills used to get the birch trees from, on the old railway line down there.
Uh-huh.
And then you put it in there to dry off, and then you made your own birch. It had to be a certain weight, a certain length, and was weighed properly. And magistrates would examine it before and afterwards that they made sure it was the right birch that you used.
Right. So they'd be quite thin branches.
Very thin. I don't think the whole lot would weigh about 12 ounces.
Mm.
And it had a bit of plaster on it for a handle.
Yeah.
And used it when he was given the birch, that's what he used.
Right.
And the magistrate would be... examine the birch, as I say, and a doctor would be in the room.
A doctor?
Would be present when it took place, except one doctor who wouldn't go in. He stood outside.
Oh.
And if he heard, if someone got six strokes of the birch, and he'd had about three, and he suddenly shouted, the doctor would knock on the door and say, right, that's enough.
Oh, really? So and did the doctor have the right to stop the
birch? Yes, yeah. So instead of getting six birch strokes, he might only get three.
Mm.
Of course, sometimes he never heard the doctor, and he got an extra one.
All right. Did the person being... What position was the person being birched in? Were they bent over? Were they upright?
They were bent over a chair, and there was a constable each side of them, kind of held on each arm.
Yes.
And...
did some of them struggle?
Some of them did, yes. But there was two policemen in there to hold them, like.
Mm.
And in the early days, you birched them with the trousers off.
Yes.
And then latterly, you birched them with the trousers on.
Ah.
And... children got the cane, what they call the cane,
mm-hmm.
which in my opinion was worse than the birch.
Was that on the backside as well?
Yeah, on the backside. Just one cane, like a teacher, school teacher had.
As they would get in a public school.
Yes,
Part of island life for 60 years. This is your Manx Radio.